Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. I give God praise for another opportunity to share the Word of God with you this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. This morning, we continued discussing a very particular word that I captioned revisiting Psalm 91. It's a passage about the intimacy that God is calling us to as His people. And we want to celebrate that. And I know that your heart is beating for the Lord. The Word of God says, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul panted after thee. We need to have that deeper connection with the Lord. One thing I have come to understand from the Word of God is that this deeper level of relationship doesn't just happen. God doesn't force it on any one of us. We have to desire it. We have to want it. We have to pursue it. And that takes outright determination. As I look at the Word of God, I see two blind men before Jesus came to Jericho. And it didn't matter what the crowd was saying, they wanted something. While the crowd said, shut up, they cried out the louder. When Jesus came into the city, there was another blind man, but this time not physically blind, but his vision was blocked because he was a very short guy. His name was Zacchaeus. The Bible says, in spite of the danger to his life, he waded himself into the midst of the crowd, overtook that crowd, got onto a sycamore tree, climbed up that sycamore tree, and because he risked everything to connect with the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ, our Lord, came to that place, and there were many other trees, and certainly there were many other people climbing up on trees, but there was something different about this one. Jesus stopped on that tree and said to Zacchaeus, today, I'm going to have dinner at your house. You know what he did. He must have just jumped off that tree. And with great excitement, led Jesus to his house. He wasn't planning on going to his house with Jesus. Not in his wildest dream did he think that Jesus will come to him. A man that was recognized as a sinner, as a thief, as a crooked person. This holy man is going to come to my house? He never thought about that. But the desire of his heart to meet with Jesus captured the heart of the Lord that caused him to say, I'm going to come to your house today. When Jesus got to the other side of Jericho, he met a man there. He was blind, and he too cried out. And the crowd said, shut up. But he cried out the louder. So, Pastor, what are you saying to us this evening? I'm saying you've got to bypass the crowd. What people think, what people say, because this deal is about you and God. It's not about them. It's about you and God. What you really want from God. You and I have to be determinant and determined about what kind of relationship we want with God. In this very special time, I say special time with this very challenging. It's a time that most of us have not experienced before. There's so many forces pulling in different directions. And you need to determine in your life What kind of a relationship you're going to have with God? Because of the shutdown, you're not able to be in church. But how long are you going to stay steadfast and faithful, even though you're not in a physical building? How faithful are you in your pursuit of God? How faithful are you in how you're approaching the goodness of God in your life as an individual? It's a question to consider. And we're going to consider some of that tonight. But the passage of scripture I want to share with you this evening is a passage of scripture that's covered by three of the Gospels. It's covered by Luke, it's covered by Matthew, it's covered by Mark. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, the word of God says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him." That's a good thing. He desired it. "I want you to eat with me." But what is the motivation? Because sometimes we might desire for him, but it is not because we really desire him. It is because we want to have another tick done. "I ate with Jesus. Jesus was in my house." So many people pursue God for their own wild reasons. And so it was for this Pharisee. It's interesting that it says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him." The Pharisees, my goodness, they didn't like Jesus at all. So this guy is different. The story is starting out well. Let's give him a break for now. He desired him that he would eat with him. "I want you to come eat with me." And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Jesus went there and sat down to meat. And behold, the Bible says, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, not a Pharisee, a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. This is a very precious ointment. Theologians through the years have supposed that this ointment was as expensive as a whole year's wage. It's possible that this ointment was being preserved as something she was going to take to her house of marriage. We don't know for sure. But what we do know that this was a very special box that had this ointment in it. The Bible tells us that she was a sinner. She heard that Jesus was at meat at the Pharisee's house. Now, the Pharisee's house is not a place you want to go to. If you are a well-known sinner, if they say you are a sinner, hey, that's serious. Everybody's a sinner, but they're calling you a sinner. You're a big one. It's quite possible that she was a woman of the night. And to go to a Pharisee's house is not the right place, because you're going to have a whole lot of condemnation. You don't want to go there. But in spite of all the accusations that she was going to have, she took something that was very precious to her, and she went where Jesus was. This was not about come eat at my house. This was about, I need to be where you are. Not so that I can be walking around and saying, I was with Jesus. No, this was something else. She came, and while Jesus was there in that house, and the Bible tells us that she stood behind the Lord. She didn't stay in front of him. She stood behind him, and she was weeping. She was crying, and she started doing the strangest of things. The Bible tells us in verse 38 and 39, it says, while she was there weeping with tears and wiping those tears away from his feet with the hair on her head. This is her crown of glory. If you're a woman of the night, you want to take care of that hair. And she's busy wiping the feet of Jesus with the hairs of her head. And the Bible says, and kissed his feet. Now that's rather interesting, because the word that is used here for kissing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a word that says that she just kissed it one time. No, no. She's kissing it over and over and over and over. This is becoming annoying already. And anointed those feet with the ointment. Incredible. What's going on here? The Bible says in verse 39, now when the Pharisee, that's the one that invited him, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. He didn't voice it out. He was thinking it and saying it within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, also now we know why he invited him. I've been hearing about him. He must be a prophet. He would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. She's a sinner. We all know this woman is a sinner. And this so-called prophet is sitting down there. This woman is weeping and pouring her tears over his feet and wiping his feet with her hair and anointing him with this expensive oil. Other gospels tell us that this particular Pharisee was a leper. Whether he was still a leper, not certain of. But at one point in his life, he was a leper. So this man must have known rejection. He's known the time of being discarded. But here, he's not learnt from his experience, though physical. He was judging somebody else. And how many times we judge people? You know, we judge people for all kinds of reasons. You don't know why somebody's so excited about God, why they are so loud. You sitting down there and saying, why is she so loud? Why is he so loud? Why is she running around? And why is he running around? Why is his hands always up? Why don't you just cool it down? No, the fact is, you don't know where I've been and what God has done in my life. If I'm going to go out and act crazy, you don't know what is driving me. Why did he have to give so much? He could have just given $10. Why did he have to give 10,000? You don't know what's driving him. You need to mind your own business. I know what God took me out of. I know where God brought me from, and I never forget it. But also, not forgetting it causes me to extend mercy to people. I'm amazed at so many times when somebody comes to me and tells me what's going on in their heart, in their life, how beaten down they are, and what has captured their hearts. And they think when they go and talk to me, I'm going to come with this big jackhammer and slam them over the head and condemn them. And they're surprised and shocked. What's going on here? Well, what's going on here is I know that God forgave me, and that God is merciful, and that God is kind, and that God is faithful, and that God is loving, and that God generates an atmosphere of peace and restoration. I know, and therefore it behooves me to extend the same to others. Here, this man who was a leper is busy condemning not only her, but condemning the Lord Jesus Christ. If he was truly a prophet, he would have known what this was all about. Interestingly enough, this Simon is the father. He's the father of Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed the Lord. Interesting. If time permits me, I will take you to the other passages so you can see. He says, this man had a judgmental streak. And Jesus answered and said unto him. Remember, he was saying whatever it is he was saying in his heart. He wasn't verbalizing it. It wasn't audible. But so that he knows that Jesus is a prophet, Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Simon, I have something to talk to you about. What is it, Master? So Jesus gives him an interesting story. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence. That's almost 2 years of wages. And the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, the guy who owed 50 and the one who owed 500, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Please, forget it. It's all right. It's taken care of. Just go. Don't worry about it. Just be at peace. We're good. We're good. Are you sure? I said, we're good. Go. Don't worry about it. Whatever money you make now, it's yours. It's forgiven. So the Lord asked this question. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? The guy who owed 50 or the guy who owed 500? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. You have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see her, this woman, see her? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Now this is customary. When somebody comes to your house, it was customary to give them water to wash their feet. Because they're walking out on the streets, on the dusty roads, and this was one of the first things you did. You offered them water to wash their feet. He says, I came. You're the one who invited me, right? And I came to your house, and you didn't even offer me water for my feet. Here comes this woman, and she, with her tears, is washing my feet. But she had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. What you failed to do, she did. She's supposed to be the sinner, right? And you're the Pharisee, this religious leader, political leader. You're a leader in the society, and you didn't do that. And the woman that you are saying is a sinner is doing all of this. Interesting. How we point our fingers with accusation at people. This and that and so on and so forth. And the question still remains, what have you done? You know, in 40-something years of ministry, you know what I found out? The biggest complainers are those that are not participating. The people that want to see every single detail of how much was came in their offering and how much was spent are the people that don't give. That's what I found out. And it's a constant anywhere. People who are not sold out to a vision are the ones always complaining. There she was, doing everything that he should have done. You know what I found out all through these years? Is that the people that have the capacity to give are the ones that give the least most times. Not always the case, but most of the time. This is exemplified by the story that the Lord Jesus Christ relays to us when he was sitting down there watching the treasury, and a woman, a widow, came and gave her mite. And he said, this woman gave more than everyone else here. It wasn't the quantity, it was the percentage. And the fact that she gave her all, they gave out of their lots and much, but she gave out of her need. The story has not changed. Still the same today. Where's your heart? Where's your giving? Where's your commitment? Where's your demonstration of love for the things of God? Do you just want a title? Do you just want a certificate? Do you just want something to say about who you've been rubbing shoulders with? Or do you have a heart-to-heart relationship with God? The next verse says, thou givest me no kiss. That was customary. When you meet somebody from the Middle East, they will give you a kiss on this side of your cheek, on that side, and on and on. Says, you didn't even give me a kiss. You invited me to come eat with you, but you didn't even give me a kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, since the time I got here, had not ceased to kiss my feet. She didn't even kiss my face. She's kissing my feet. Wow. And get the next verse. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. You don't anoint my head with oil. And that was also customary. People come and they've gone through a rough day. You anoint their head, you know, take away all the stuff from outside, the bugs and whatever else. He says, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. She didn't touch my face, my feet. What was that sign? It was a sign of total humility. In her giving of herself completely, she was humbling herself. The word of God says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray, he says, I will hear. Many times it's not the praying. It's the fact that we've not humbled ourselves. And God is calling us to a place of humility where we humble ourselves in recognizing that we are in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that whatever it is that we got to do, that we've got to do it with everything within us. Whatever it is that you do, Paul says, do it as unto the Lord. This woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. Oh my, I love the Lord. I know who she is. You're thinking, if I were a prophet, I would have known that this woman was really a sinner. Well, let me tell you, I know. I know she's a sinner. And she's got lots of them. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. They're forgiven. Based on what? For she loved much. Her love for me is much. And because she loves much, I forgive her. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. What's the point? Simon, see, you don't recognize that you're a sinner and that you've been forgiven much. That's what gives you this air of arrogance. That's why you're proud. This woman over here, she recognizes that she is a sinner. And she loves. And she's forgiven all of her sins. You and I must ask ourselves this question. Do we recognize that we've been forgiven by the Lord? How did she demonstrate that she was forgiven? Much. She did it by her worship. She did it by her giving. You know, people who know that God means so much to them are extravagant with their relationship with God. When you don't recognize that God has done so much for you, you tip God. But when you know God has done much for you, man, you don't talk, I give my tithe. That's foolish talk. You don't count pennies. You know, well, I earned $100.10. So my offering is $10.01. And you start looking around to find the 1 cent. Wake up. When you know that God has given you so much, you could care less. You're not counting by 10%. No, 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 no. You become real with God. Through the years, I've had my bank account emptied by the Lord. I've had my wallet emptied by the Lord. Says, I want that. And I started giving, said, give me some more. And I said, he said, just give me all of it. I said, what? Well, if you want all of it, you can have it. Because I recognize something. I've been forgiven much. I cannot pay for the forgiveness I have received from God. How can I pay for that which God has done for me? That God has made it possible for me to know Him, for me to come to Him, for me to talk to Him, for me to hear His voice, for me, oh my God, how can I pay for that? Something I can't pay for it. The very fact that I can breathe and not fight for the air, how much is that? Really, how much is that for you just to breathe in and breathe out and not be fighting for your breath? Do you know how many people are out there and they're spending thousands just to breathe? And you want to pinch pennies for God. You know how much people are paying just to walk? How much people are paying just to eat something and swallow it and be able to excrete it? They can't do it. They need all kinds of help, medicinal help, and they are paying and paying and paying, and they are not getting any better. When you know what God has done for you, you become extravagant in your relationship with Him. You're willing to give anything. This woman knew something had happened in her life, and this God, she wanted to connect with. She was going to connect, and connect she did. Verse 48. And He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven, Jesus said. Simon, I know she's a sinner and she's got lots, and I'm forgiving her all her sins. You thought I was just a prophet? Listen, I'm more than a prophet. I am able to forgive sins. Wow! Who forgives sins but God? God is here and takes a sinner to understand that God is here. And you, religious man, you're clueless. How many times we miss out on what is right there in front of us and do not appreciate to a full extent what we've got? Does he learn any lesson from it? Are you kidding me? Verse 49 says, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Who is this that forgiveth sins also? So they recognized him, that he did certain things. Obviously, Simon the leper, the Pharisee, I'd seen him heal. He's seen people healed because this was the hometown of Lazarus. Mary and Martha, they were in Bethany. And they had seen and heard of the miracles Jesus has done. Who is this that forgiveth sins also? Here, this last verse. Bible says, and he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Wait a minute. Okay, I can understand your sins are forgiven you. But that's not what he said. He said, "Thy faith hath saved thee." What faith? The faith that she believed that this man here has the capacity to forgive me my sins. How did she come to this knowledge? I wonder. How did she come to this place to understand that Jesus was able to forgive her her sins? What had she been listening to? What was she watching for? Jesus, our Lord, said something. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." There is a place where you operate. He says, "Faith cometh by hearing." There is a place where God begins to whisper into your spirit the keys to victory that may not be heard by anybody else, but it's something that is speaking into your spirit. There's a witness inside of you that makes you recognize, just like the woman with the issue of blood, if I can just touch the hem, haptomai, if I can just log in, attach myself to the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be healed. It is a call, and this call comes to every one of us. But the fact is, many times we are not always obedient to the direction of the Lord. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to me. God wants to connect with you, and God wants to connect with me. When he speaks, am I willing to connect? That's a big question. This woman recognized her sins, but she also recognized that there was something about this Jesus, that he was connected to God, that this Jesus was well able to heal, deliver, set free, forgive, and make whole. And because she believed it, Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you." That's a very interesting word. Your faith hath saved you. Your faith has saved you. This is the Greek word sozo. It also can be translated healing, but it's primarily used to talk about salvation. It's about making one whole. Your faith has brought you into a place of wholeness. Now, go in peace. Go in peace. Go and experience my peace, which passes all understanding. Go to that place where nothing is missing, nothing is broken, where wholeness is established. Go in peace. And now, her going in peace meant that she was not going to have to be that lady of the night anymore. That the capacity within her has now been established for her to live a whole life. This woman became a great vessel that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to. One of the first that saw the resurrected Christ. This woman. She had come into a place of intimacy. Because, let's face it, her weeping and shedding tears on his feet, wiping his feet with her hair, anointing his feet with this precious ointment. That's as intimate as you can get in that particular setting. Just imagine that. What, if you saw that happening, you say, what on earth is going on here? What on earth is going on here? Get a room! That's what you say. What on earth is going on? What kind of a relationship do these two have? Something's happening here. Reason, it is intimate. This is not something that happens with people that don't have intimacy. And how is she showing it? She's showing it in her adoration. She's showing it in her giving. Your giving shows your intimacy. Your giving shows your heart. Don't say, I love God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I love the Lord, God is good. And you're not a giver. You're a joker. Because when you love, you give passionately. You give of your time. You give of the resources that you have. You give of your finances. You give whatever needs to be given. That's what happens when you know God's love in your life. And by the way, we only are able to love God because He first loved us. That means that when you have received the love of God, you also demonstrate that love of God that you have received by returning it with thanksgiving. Ask yourself this question tonight. How much do I love God? Can you answer that question? If you can answer that question, then I'm talking to somebody who knows forgiveness. Who knows, once upon a time I was a leper before I became a Pharisee. I have scars to show it, that I was not always good. That God in His grace brought me to this place. As a preacher of the gospel, I can acknowledge that. I know I have the past. I'm not here preaching the gospel because I've always been good. No, God stepped into my badness and brought good out of it. And He expects for you and I that now know Him to do the same for others. Don't receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and not wipe His feet. So what do you mean by that? Well, the Word of God says that our feet are shod by the preparation of the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of them who preach good news. The feet of the Lord causes me to partner with men and women that are busy preaching the gospel, telling the truth. We support that. That's part of you weeping and wiping and pouring the ointment on the feet of Jesus. That means that you are standing with him to make sure that the lives of men and women are forever changed, because the message of deliverance is being proclaimed and men and women are coming to salvation. They are receiving, they are healing, they are experiencing the love of God, the power of God, the loving kindness of God, and you are supporting that. The Bible says the people magnified the disciples, and the message of the gospel kept on being preached. Jesus said, "Go in peace." It was about her giving and her expressions of love. Now let me wrap up with 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3 through 6 or 7. The Bible says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father." That's a very good statement. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. But it says there, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. That's a problem. That's a problem. And this is going to become a problem in his life down the line. Why is it going to be a problem? Because now he's going to be burning incense in the high places where idols are being worshipped. And he's going to join himself with women from foreign lands who worship in those kind of places. And therefore, there was a splinter, so to speak, in his hand that's going to cause an infection because it's not removed. But watch this. Because when we talk about walking with God and hearing the love talk of God, we've got to understand that one of the triggers is in our worship and our adoration, but also in our giving. The Bible says, "And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." Verse 5, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" When did God speak to Solomon? After Solomon had sacrificed, a great sacrifice, God spoke to him. All this while, God didn't say anything to him. But in his giving, God, in his dream at night, he dreamt in a dark moment when his eyes are closed. God opens his spiritual eyes to see something, to hear something. And God asked him, "What do you want me to give you?" What is the response of Solomon? And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. You've shown to my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." You've given him a legacy. Next verse. "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child." That's humility. "I know not how to go out or come in." I don't know. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Still displaying humility. Humility first in his giving to God, but humility now in understanding that he's a leader of a great people. So he asks this, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Who's able to judge? Who's able to decide things for them? Who's able to help them? They're great people. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And then it says, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked thyself for thyself understanding to discern judgment. I'm going to do this for you. He says, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. That's great. But what else did God say? God says, I like this. And I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked. You asked the right thing. Now I'm going to give you what you did not ask for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Pastor, what's this? That's God saying, because you honored me with your giving, and two, you recognize my people and ask for wisdom so that you can be the best you for them, I'm not only going to give you the wisdom that you need, I'm going to give you what you did not ask for. This is the message of the Lord when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. That lady came to Jesus, and she thought she was only going to get forgiveness. But the Lord says, one, you are whole. Two, go in peace, my Irene. From now on, nothing is going to be missing. Nothing is going to be broken in your life. Why? You came and served me. You served my vision. You served my purpose. You served my ministry of taking good news of the gospel. Anointed to come to destroy the works of the devil. And here you are, anointed me. Guess what? Jesus, our Lord, is going to die a few days later. Would you know it? When those stripes were being landed on him, he was smelling good, even in the midst of his troubles. She had anointed him for his burial. And when he rose, she was the first person to see him. Your investment in God and his purposes will not fail. It will never fail. You will see a harvest because God will reveal himself first and foremost to those that adore him, worship him, and give extravagantly to his purposes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your eternal word. I thank you, Lord, O God, that your glory is here with us, and that even now You're doing something extraordinary in all of our lives. Like this young lady, we come and we wash your feet and we pour all that we have on you. We come to this place of divine intimacy so that you can be all that you want to be, so that you can reveal to mankind, to all, that you are well able not only to heal physically, but to heal spirit, soul, and body as you forgive sins. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I did not warn you about the time of communion today, but if you are able to, I'd like to share communion with you, and we'll try to do so during this time together. I want to encourage you to give faithfully to the Lord. And may God bless all those that have been faithful in their giving. If you've not been faithful in your giving, do so. It is for your own good more than anybody else's. Well, this is the body of the Lord. As we take off this body, let us come into a covenant relationship with the Lord. Let his covenant be established in all of our lives. Take of this body, for he says, as you eat of this body, do it in remembrance of me. Take and eat in Jesus' name. The cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. As we take off this cup and we drink, let us receive God's healing graces. Let his power be manifested in our lives. Let it be transformation, deliverance, peace, prosperity, the grace for breakthroughs. May God elevate you, and may you climb up the stairs of God's favor. In Jesus' name, take off this cup and drink. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I want to thank God for every one of you, for your faithful support. And we look forward to being with you this Wednesday, and then, of course, on Friday. May God's hand rest upon you, and may his peace garrison your heart. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Love you, and good night.